Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. My name is Sam. Joining me today is Ron John. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
And Dan, how are you?
I'm going up on the third rope for a high-risk maneuver.
Oh, boy.
I need an adult.
I need something not adult.
Okay.
To be honest with you, it's been kind of a rough week. Mm-hmm. I think we all know about the shootings in South Carolina and what went on there. And it's a strange thing, but I'm getting tired of people telling me that we don't live in a racist nation, to be honest with you.
Yeah. The Washington Post response to it was the Washington Post response to it was a quintessential example of denialism, of the racist angle.
I'm not familiar with it.
The whole thing goes on and on and on, but at the end of it, they basically said that the shooter stands alone, that there's nobody who agrees with him at all.
And I was okay. Like,
he performed a shooting of black people in a black church as a white person wearing the flags of South Africa and Rhodesia in a state that flies the Confederate flag to this day.
Right.
He's not alone. He's got the Verizon Army behind him.
Ouch.
Sorry, apologies to Verizon.
Well, that and you've got people in the news trying to make this about religion as well, mm-hmm. saying that it was an attack on Christianity because it happened at a church.
Right.
We have got to stop this Christian on Christian violence.
Right. Yeah. When will Christians speak out about this?
Yeah. Jeez. And I'm a humanist, and the show is called Ask an Atheist, but I am a humanist, and I find myself as I get older identifying more with that than maybe with atheism, except I still really strongly identify as an atheist. But, we think people are capable of good. Hard to stick with sometimes,
mm-hmm.
especially today, but that also means, fair treatment. And I think at this point, we can say that fair treatment, bit more of a fight here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
than we would like it to be otherwise.
Right. And this denialism has been going on for a while. For some reason, there's been double the rate of other presidents are the death threats against the current president. And no one knows why.
Right.
No one can possibly explain why it is that the first black president has twice as many death threats.
Yeah. And, we have this thing about not talking about politics. It doesn't have anything to do with atheism, skepticism, whatever. On this one, I think it's too important for me to not say anything, especially in the light of this, and especially when I'm seeing a lot of people in the atheism community trying to turn this into some sort of attack on, trying to make a religious hit, a religious joke, or a religious comment, or something biting and intelligent, or whatever. And I'll tell you, my social media dance card is a bit lighter this week as a result. And, boy, if that's not warts and all, I don't know what is. But mm-hmm. I need to say that for me. Maybe mm-hmm. not for you guys, but I needed to say it for me. We're going to be interviewing people in the next hour in our community who are helping out rather than trying to turn this into something in their own wheelhouse. So that, just more grist for their debate mill. So we'll be talking to them in the second segment. But for the rest of the show, maybe we'll talk about some other stuff. Stay cheered up.
Mm-hmm.
At least try.
Right.
So let's just start with something amazing.
Can we have something? I'm looking for something to
colorful?
Start the show out.
Colorful.
Something funny, something colorful, something that really brings us together as a family.
Baltimore resident Julie Baker received an anonymous note criticizing her colorful yard decorations. Your yard is becoming relentlessly gay.
Hey, 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 hey.
The note read, myself and others in the neighborhood ask you to tone it down. It continued, this is a Christian area and there are children. Keep it up and I will be forced to call the police on you. Your kind need to have respect for God. Baker, who is a widowed mother of four grown children, assumed the note was in response to newly installed rainbow-colored solar lights that spell love and ohana, the Hawaiian word for family. Baker has responded by vowing to battle her neighbor's hatred with whimsy, beauty, laughter, and love, and has started a GoFundMe campaign to make her home even more relentlessly gay.
I think that this
is the perfect
fantastic.
Story.
This is great. Yes.
I had read that the rainbow lights literally had no, she just liked the rainbow lights, and it was something about her family, right. Had no connection with this, and then you get this note that's like, it's relentlessly gay. Like,
it is?
It is now!
Right, yeah. It says love and Ohana.
Yeah.
And that's relentlessly gay. It's Pride Parade week, or Pride Parade month, is Pride Month.
Right.
In most major cities.
Yeah.
And most cities are showcasing their relentlessly gay. And by showcasing their relentlessly gay, I'm talking about parades where you're looking at a bunch of people on a parade float and you're looking at them and you're saying, where do you put your keys? That's relentlessly gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is lights on a house.
Lights on a house. And I mean, I guess it's a success of marketing if now people see colors and think gay people.
Right. Like, that's just like the messaging has landed.
Yeah.
I want to know, was she trying to take it back? Like, we're taking back the rainbow.
No, clearly not. Because when she got this, like her response is to make it even more relentlessly gay. So
yeah.
She gets this note that says relentlessly gay.
Just the phrase relentlessly gay.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's relentlessly gay is the new Horace Gilgamesh. We all need the next conference we all go to. Hi, my name is Rondon Banerjee. I'm relentlessly gay.
Can we do a support group?
But she gets it. So you get this note and you know, it's just one of those things that completely changes the reason why you do stuff. Like, well, it is now.
Yeah.
It is now.
Before it was just yard decorations. Now it's relentlessly gay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
and it's going to be relentlessly gay.
Before I just wanted lights, but now you've given me a call to action.
I'm going
to
put a statue in the yard of two gnomes making out.
Right. You're the wind beneath my wings.
I love it when people use relentlessly and words like that for intrinsic qualities. I always love that. I'm relentlessly pale.
I'm relentlessly Indian American.
Yeah. Relentlessly.
I'm relentlessly sitting.
There is no compromise on my seated position. Oh, geez.
And something you can't. I mean, we tried to animate it through how we were talking about it. But the note itself is this perfect storm of random capitalization and underlining.
It looks like a Dr. Bronner soap label a little bit.
Oh, it absolutely does. Yeah. And I love that one of the sentences starts out myself and others.
And right? Others.
Like, myself is this way of saying, like, not just me, but myself.
Can we address the weirdest thing about the
note? There's a weirdest thing.
There is a weirdest thing about this note to me, just from like a logistics standpoint.
Sure.
Or I'll be forced to call the police on you. For what?
Well, okay.
I mean, you've got to stop eating Cheetos right now, or I'm going to have to call the police on you.
Is this an illegal yard
decoration? I want to see you start parting your hair on the left instead of the right, or I'm going to call the police on you.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps
which police? Are you calling the fashion police? I don't know which.
Or the lighting police?
The lighting police. Yeah.
The lighting police is actually.
We're calling in the light brigade.
Hey!
Oh, wow. Yes.
That's two. That's two.
Oh, I'll see four before the hour's over.
A Russian official suggested opening an investigation into NASA's moon landings in the 1960s and early 70s. In an op-ed, Vladimir Markin of the Investigative Committee declared his support for an investigation into the disappearances of the original tapes of the first moon landing and the location of various moon rocks. Markin admits that his interest is in response to U.S. authorities launching a large-scale corruption probe targeting 9 FIFA officials. Russia is scheduled to host the 2018 FIFA World Cup and could lose hosting duties because of the corruption probe.
So the equivalence here is essentially that they believe the moon, they're challenging the moon landing because they think the moon landing doesn't exist. Are they of the impression that we think FIFA doesn't exist?
Or that'd be nice.
But I don't get the logic here. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to go ahead and be crazy at you. Ha ha.
This isn't taking your ball and going home. This is taking your ball and going home.
Right.
Yeah. But
good luck getting that ball, suckers. It's a long ways away.
3 days. That's a very strange one. That's a very weird tit for tat thing. What?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks that this is just sort of, I was trying to think, like, what's he trying to do? Like, is he trying to poke fun at us? Is he trying to say, well, yeah, if you're going to investigate us, we're going to investigate you. But why pick this?
Yeah. We're going to undermine things.
Yeah.
Just things. Also, your hamburgers suck.
Right. Yeah, like, I mean, go ahead and why don't they send the Univision people or the Eurovision people after us?
Right.
Like, you guys need a song. You haven't submitted a song, and therefore you're not part of the world community.
I believe America only has one response to this.
The Voice, but in Russian?
Go to the moon again?
We need to do American Idol in Russia.
Buzz Aldrin.
And just come down there and punch some fools.
Just punch some,
exactly.
Yeah. Buzz Aldrin's got to punch some Russians. Here we go. Here you go. Investigate this fist, committee. Boom. Boom.
All right. Mike Gillis on the next Radio versus the Martians. Buzz Aldrin punches some Russians. If that comic book doesn't exist, it should.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, I'm not a big advocate for violence, but
Aldrin, Russian puncher.
Yeah, but when it was Buzz Aldrin punching a moon landing denier, it's just like the clouds parted, two rainbows appeared. God said they wouldn't flood the world. Whatever. I'd have some people to thank. I'd like to thank Tyson from Tacoma, Washington, Rich from Kent, UK, Kenneth from Dayton, Ohio, and the Scoggin family from Coopville, Washington, who says, we love your show. Thank you guys very much for meeting Peggy's Challenge. Peggy's Challenge is the challenge the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help keep the lights on. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production. If you'd like to give, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button, and it'll take you right to our PayPal page. As I said, every dollar goes directly towards show production. And hey, if you got something to advertise, advertise with us as well. Yeah, just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
More commercials, whatever. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-Skeptic, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to be interviewing some people from South Carolina about helping the victims.
Yes.
Reason's inaugural conference is July 31st to August 2nd at Washington University in St. Louis. Three-day tickets are just $35. Come see 23 popular speakers including
Brother Sam Singleton,
Teresa McBain,
Aaron Raw,
Phil Ferguson,
Tracy Harris,
Rebecca Vitzman,
Dan Barker,
Steve Hill,
Sarah Moorhead,
Matt Dillahunty,
Hemant Mehta,
David Smalley,
and Vicky Garrison.
Tickets for a Friday night VIP event with our speakers are $125. Get tickets at gatewaytoreason.com and get gear at evolvefish.com. Follow Gateway to Reason on Facebook and Twitter.
Imagine tropical waters, warm sandy beaches, friendly people, incredible weather. The English-speaking Caribbean island nation of St. Lucia awaits. Don Summers and his team at Professional Realty Group are ready to assist you. Whether you're looking for an investment, a place to retire, or a killer vacation property, St. Lucia has homes in all price ranges starting at $110,000. Call Don at 780-237-4718 and check out dndrealty.ca.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
48 hours. 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing. pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEX Radio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Joining us now is Amy Monsky. She's the director of the Atheist Alliance of America. She's also heavily involved in secular parenting activities with Camp Quest National. Amy joins us from Charleston, South Carolina. How are you doing today, Amy?
I'm great, thank you.
Matthew Fascioni is a graduate student, activist, and member of the Midlands Agnostics, Atheists, and Secular Humanists organization. He helped create the online campaign for the families of the victims involved with the Charleston shooting. How are you doing today, Matthew?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing very well. So, Amy, tell us about this fundraising campaign that you guys are working on.
We wanted to put together a fundraiser where humanists could come together and donate money to the families of the victim of the Charleston AME church shooting Wednesday night.
Okay. How did all the groups in the area get on board with this campaign?
I talked to Matthew because we're both co-chairs for the Secular Coalition for South Carolina, and he's in Columbia, and I'm in the group in Charleston, the Secular Humanists of the Lowcountry. And together we thought it might be a more powerful statement if the groups came together from across the state. And so we reached out to each of the groups, and they were all on board, all very supportive of it, and that's how it came to be.
What are some of the other groups that you're coordinating with?
We have the Piedmont Humanists in the Upstate, the Freethought Society of the Midlands and Columbia, Secular Humanists of the Lowcountry in Charleston, Myrtle Beach Freethinkers and Humanists in Myrtle Beach, Florence Atheists and Secular Humanists in Florence, and then we have two groups in the Aiken area.
So, Matthew, have you received any pushback from humanists or other non-religious folks who don't think that this is an appropriate activity to do under the banner of humanism?
Thankfully, very few. It's become pretty viral online, so I have had a lot of people talking about it through Facebook and Twitter, and thankfully, overwhelmingly, it's been very positive support for it. But there have been a couple people that are saying, you know, why do we have to do this or something like that? But it's been only a handful of people I've come across.
Have you experienced any of that, Amy?
Not personally. I've seen a few comments online, but by and large, the response has been very positive. I think atheists and humanists are very proud to be a part of this. I think this has kind of restored any kind of doubt that some may have had in the humanist community, that we're reaching out across religious bounds and helping everybody regardless of faith, because it's the right thing to do.
That's great to hear. Overall, in the wake of the shootings, what is the mood like in Charleston?
It's actually very loving and forgiving. It's been very unifying. People have come together. It's been amazing to hear how the families of the victims have stood up and expressed forgiveness. And really, it's been a unifying force. It's been very tragic, and everybody's very shocked. But it's made me be a part. I've been here 10 years, so I'm not native to here. But it's made me feel very proud to be a part of this city with the spirit that we've had here.
That's good to hear, because I've always been a little bit afraid of when I do work in the community, especially in the wake of a disaster or something like that, of people in the community saying, well, you know, okay, I get that you guys aren't religious and that's important to you, but why are you here now? Why are you rubbing our faces in the fact that you don't have a religion? And I always kind of worry, because it might be doubly so in this case because of the nature of this particular tragedy. You haven't experienced that at all?
No.
Man, that is fantastic.
It is actually really great to hear. I echo Sam's sentiments completely. A number of leaders have been calling for prayers in the wake of the shooting. In fact, pretty much every presidential candidate at some point or another tweeted something about how their prayers are with the victims and the families and the community of the Emmanuel AME Church. How do humanists engage in mourning and for the victims and support for the community?
Matthew, why don't you feel
I'm sorry. We were supposed to correct these people. Sorry,
no worries. Matthew. I guess for me personally, whenever I'm trying to talk to someone about dealing with loss or someone that they really cared about, first off, it's important for them to cope however they feel most comfortable with. But I just try to stress that the person's not really gone as long as we can remember them. And as long as we continue their memories alive, we can still reflect on those positive memories. But as far as this particular case, the people that were involved were very religious, so if they want to have their prayers for that, I'm totally going to be supportive of that as well.
Amy, do you sort of have the same answers for this question, or do you have another way to support the community?
I have similar answers. In my local group, after the shooting, in addition to a fundraiser, we had talked about what can we do? What is something tangible that we can do for these people to show that we stand with them in solidarity? And we had a hard time coming up with something. And I think that sort of, for me personally, kind of underscored why some people pray, is that they want to do something, and sometimes there's just nothing that can be done. And that praying is not necessarily an act that will bring about a change, but the act of praying itself provides some kind of immediate feeling of being together for the person doing the praying. So I don't have a problem, especially in this case, when people are dealing with their grief, because that's one of the questions that I think religion answers for people, is how to deal with these hard facts of life. And in humanism, we deal with them slightly differently, but it's the same. We come together, we share, we express ourselves. As far as the politicians tweeting out prayers, I don't personally have a problem with it in this particular circumstance either, because I know what they're trying to do. I know what they're trying to say. We had in Charleston a week ago where Governor Nikki Haley endorsed a prayer rally. It was a general prayer rally to pray for the state of affairs, and that was a completely different thing. But I don't agree with that at all. But in this particular case, I appreciate that people are trying to reach out and touch the people that are hurt by this tragedy in a way that connects to them.
So I recognize this presents some new challenges, and certainly with this most recent case of the shooting, is this all new challenges, or does the humanist community in Charleston have a history of interfaith work, interfaith reactions to disasters?
We don't really have a history of interfaith work. This would probably be the first one. While we've had fundraisers in the past, and the Secular Humanists of the Lowcountry has a Charity of the Quarter program, so that every quarter we adopt a charity, and it's generally a secular charity. It's an organization that supports one thing or another. And it may be that the people that we help are religious or are Christians, but this will be the first one that we've ever done that has been for Christians. But I think it's so important that we show the public that, we atheists are not always what the perception has been, that we can put down our atheist arms, so to speak, to show our humanist hearts.
That is, it's fantastic to hear that you have an ongoing charitable activity, and the quarterly idea is actually something that I like the idea of how it continues and extends your work. Regarding the work that you're doing in this particular event with the fundraiser, and this is actually for Matthew, have you received any responses from the families of any of the victims, or from Mother Emmanuel itself?
I haven't yet, and I think the focus is just kind of to have them grieve in their own ways before I try to bring in, hey, we're these bunch of atheists that are raising all this money.
No, that's a perfectly no. I was literally just asking it. You're absolutely right that I think you mentioned earlier that the responses to this are completely unique to each individual and also to each individual community. And so them having a private response to it seems perfectly reasonable.
Right, yeah. So once we finish up collecting all the money, I'll definitely go out and contact them, and we'll figure out the best way to get them the funds. And, you know, whenever we do that, I haven't really thought about it too much, but the emphasis is definitely not going to be on our religious differences. It's just going to be, hey, we're all, you know, brothers and sisters of South Carolina, and we want to help out. And hopefully, if they happen to see that we're a humanist group, and that has them reflect on some things, and maybe they'll think, you know, atheists aren't so bad, that's really cool too. But the main focus is just to help out the families.
I'm really, I'm hearing the passion in both of your voices about how to connect with the community, but also not to get in their way and to allow them to, as you say, grieve in their own way and to arrive at the whatever peace is possible in this event. And it's actually quite moving to hear that you guys are working on this in this particular way and so focused on it. I really appreciate you motivating the community and moving us forward this way.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
If people would like to would like to contribute to this fund, where would I send them, Amy?
We have a website set up. It's an Indiegogo fund, and I'm actually I'm going to pull it up right now. It's a long one.
Okay.
Matt, is there a better way to give this out other than to spell it all out?
If they Google the title of the Indiegogo fund, I think it will come up on the first Google search. So it's like AME Church Victims Fund, I believe. So that's probably the easiest way.
Yeah, Church Shooting Victims Fund.
Shooting Victims Fund. So that's the easiest one. And if you guys can maybe put the link somewhere, if you have a website or something.
Absolutely.
Spreading around. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be...
that'd probably be the easiest way.
If people go to askanatheist.tv, and the links to all of this will be right under the name of the episode. So It'll be the right at the top of the page. So, awesome. Unfortunately, you know, we find ourselves in these incredibly negative circumstances for the first time we talk, but... the MASH organization does other stuff. What other stuff has the Midlands Agnostics, Atheists, and Secular Humanist organization been up to, Matthew?
Sure. So we're actually a new group. We used to just be a general free thought group, and we just recently created this subsection that's a humanist focus. And our first event was to just do a food and clothing drive for some local organizations in Colombia. And our next event after this one is going to be doing some counter-protests, actually. So for Planned Parenthood, they get a lot of protesters for the young women going in to get their services. So we're going to have some members of our community try to sort of buffer that and maybe have signs that say, like, you don't have to talk to any of these people who are, you know, saying mean things to them or giving them inaccurate medical information. So it's going to be the second event we're doing. And again, we'll be doing more types of events as we get more of an established type of group.
Oh, very good. And Amy, you're director of the Atheist Alliance of America, but you're also talking about a local organization you're involved with.
Yes, the Secular Humanists of the Lowcountry.
Oh, good. Can you tell us about that organization?
Yeah, we've been around for 20 years. We had our 20-year anniversary last year, and Charleston is known as... thank you, as the Holy City. And so we had a billboard last year to celebrate that. That was celebrating 20 godless years in the Holy City. So that was fun.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, but we do a lot of activities as well. I told you about the charity of the quarter that we do. We also we do try to emphasize the good without God. So every month we have some kind of volunteer activity. This past Saturday, not yesterday, but the week before, we went to a food bank and packaged up meals for 200 migrant families. And at the same time, and actually Matt was there too. He had come down, and we had another team that built a wheelchair ramp for an 82-year-old resident so that she could stay in her home. She's on dialysis, and so it's important, we do take very seriously giving back to the community. And then we have lots of social events. We have something every week. We have a speaker come in once a month. We have a book club, movie club. We have girls' nights out. We have family-friendly activities. We do a lot.
I'm sorry, Amy, you're not able to see us exchanging unbelieving glances at the
right.
amount of activity that's going on in this organization. That's a phenomenal amount of contribution back to your community in over 20 years to be in that city. That's phenomenal. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
So where would, if people,
oh, well, thank you.
If people want to track down these organizations, Amy, where would I send them online?
Well, my particular organization is lowcountryhumanist.org, but on the Indiegogo campaign that we've talked about before, we have all of the groups listed with the links.
Okay.
So that is one place that is all in one. And I need to say, I forgot to mention Upstate Atheists earlier, so I apologize for that. They're also in the Upstate.
Okay.
As the name would suggest.
Yes. All right. So I will say if anybody wants to meet these organizations, you can go to the Indiegogo link on our webpage at askanatheist.tv, and it'll take you anywhere you want to go.
Okay. I wanted to tell you one last thing. I don't know that it's really that important, but our original goal that Matt and I really had no idea what to choose was 3,000, which we thought was a respectable amount, but still something that we thought we could achieve. And in 2 days, it quadrupled. So we have
Fantastic.
Had such huge support that we're over $12,000. And mm-hmm. this is not just South Carolina, but across the country showing support.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I just looked it up. It's over 12,500.
Amy Monsky is director of the Atheist Alliance of America. Thank you. We met actually over the summer when you guys had your conference here in Seattle. And that was a really fun time. Thank you for your time.
Yes. Thank you. You probably knew me then as Horace Gilgamesh, though.
I'm Spartacus.
Matthew Fassiani is a graduate student activist and a member of the Midlands Agnostics Atheist and Secular Humanist Organization. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, what you guys are doing is phenomenally important if we're going to be sitting at the table with other groups as equal partners. And really, thank you very much both for everything that you're doing. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to head to a break. When we come back, we'll probably handle some user interaction.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to Ask an AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
So,
picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842, toll-free nationwide. Pope Francis said that children need heterosexual parents at a speech at the Vatican. The Pope was speaking to a crowd of 25,000 the day after a gay pride parade in Rome. The Pope claimed that differences between men and women were an integral part of being human, and that children mature seeing the differences between their mothers and fathers. Rome Mayor Ignazio Marino marched in the previous day's parade, indicating a growing acceptance of same-sex couples outside the Vatican's walls.
So, I guess the Pope is kind of this live-action performance of Good Idea, Bad Idea from Animaniacs now. It's like on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, he says something that's like stupendously amazing, like, we need to address climate change because anthropogenic changes to
you know,
fossil fuel consumption and things like that are horrible. And then he goes and does this on like Tuesdays, Thursdays, and alternate Sundays.
Right. Well, you're speaking of the encyclical, which I forget what it's called. I think it's To Serve Man.
Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah. Okay.
Nice. No, not really, but okay.
But yeah, he said the Catholic Church's climate change is going to be important to them. Which is nice. And mm-hmm. then the next
Well, they own a lot of coastal property, so I can
yeah.
see.
Yeah. Fair point.
Right.
But then the next day this.
Yeah.
And
honestly, what we need to keep coming back to, and this happens whenever anybody says anything about Dawkins, this happens anytime some leading light in the atheist community says something that's challenging or reprehensible or things that we don't like as atheists when atheists say them. We are godless. We have no gods, which also means we don't look to individual people to be infallible.
Right.
The idea that the Pope can say things we agree with and also say things we disagree with is something that doesn't blow our mindset up.
I think for a lot of Catholics, that's also, I mean, you got sort of this post-infallibility thing going on with like a lot of American Catholics.
Right.
But then you go to like a country in South America or somewhere where the Catholic Church is basically in bed with the government, and then suddenly, you know,
right. It's actually just a message from corporate. It's like, oh,
right.
We got a message from the Home Office that environmental yay and mothers and fathers only yay.
Yeah. So what? Oh, so yeah. Climate change boo. But also birth control boo, and also gay people boo. Sorry. Still, you know, every time they, you know, this Francis guy comes along and everybody's like, see, look, the Catholics are getting better. The Catholics are getting better. And then so for the first like year or so, he would say stuff, he'd say kind of sane things. And then there would be somebody in the Vatican going, hey, no, he's just joking. Let it go. And
well, I don't even pay attention to that part. Like,
yeah.
You know, whenever
but
there's
now
the inevitable Catholic infrastructure response
yeah.
to him saying something really kind and nice and humanist and sort of post Old Testament Christian, right?
It's right,
like,
right.
Oh yeah, it's not all about the rules about the selfish, about the you know, like no shellfish and no dirty women and things like that. But there's also this whole thing about be kind to one another and da 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 da. He spent a lot of time talking about that kind of stuff, and every single time he did that, like when he decided to go out and wash poor people's feet, and those poor people included, you know, actual poor people, not
right.
just other people in the church.
He was actually cleansing their souls.
He was actually, he chose prisoners, which was an unusual thing. Sorry, yes.
I think we're about to have our first on-air firing. moving on. A presidential candidate from the Transhumanist Party is proposing that atheists should be exempt from the TSA checkpoints at airports. Zoltan Istvan wrote an opinion piece on the Huffington Post suggesting that atheists shouldn't have to wait in security lines because atheists have never been accused of hijacking or bombing an airplane. Istvan claims that a no wait line for atheists would encourage people on the fence to give up their religion to avoid the hassle of a security check, which would in turn create less demand for TSA agents and thus save money spent on security.
Wasn't he the guy in G.I. Joe that could, like, change costumes to hide? I mean, he sounds exactly like the kind of person who doesn't want a security check.
That is exactly... I was literally trying to figure out that name was bouncing around in my head, and that's exactly who it is. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And he's a member of the Transhumanist Party, so believe it or not, this might be the most reasonable thing on his platform.
Well, I mean, I think it's important that and honestly, I think it means that finally the Transhumanist Party has the candidate that they've been looking for all this time. And I, for one, look forward to seeing and hearing from Zork Ishtar at a presidential debate soon.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
I'm surprised that he's against this thing. You'd think that a transhumanist would be like pretty stoked on the idea of having their physical body scanned by a machine.
Because it means nothing. It's like, it's just a thing, right? It's not actually where they live.
Maybe we're talking about different kinds of transhumans.
Yeah, that's, I think you lost me.
I'm going with the, like, upload your consciousness sort of transhumans.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Hey, you get your body scanned into a machine. You know what? That's step one.
Yeah. And I'm, not with any particular resolution. So what are you going to do with it? I mean, you're basically creating a Gumby copy.
Sure, we have Xboxes now, but we had to start at NES or Atari. We can get a pretty good image of the physical body scanned into a machine and saved. You know, we'll start from here. This is baby steps, man.
Transhumanists when Atari 2600 had, like, the adventure game where you were just, like, a dot?
Yeah. Yeah. Hans Moravec was around at that time. And he was definitely a transhumanist.
Okay.
But God, imagine being uploaded into an NES. Ah.
Right.
Boop, bloop. That's all I can do.
I can go left. I can go right. That's all I got.
I mean, the 6502 is an incredibly versatile processor, but I don't think it's that good. And for the record, I'm kind of a transhumanist, but
I think transhumanism has got more popular as games have gotten easier with more save points. I don't think you're going to convince many transhumanists with Mega Man 1.
No. Yeah, are you a bad enough uploaded brain to save the president? Well, good luck, Zoltan. I don't think this is a good idea.
I command.
I don't think this is a good idea. I really don't. Just for the record, because what?
I got it. It was a Serpentor reference. Yeah. We were at least staying in with the G.I. Joe.
Got it.
And somewhere right now, Mike Gillis is pounding his fist on the table going, Zartan! Zartan! It was Zartan!
Right.
Zorro.
Zorro.
Yeah. Checkpoints. You have a bunch of people saying I'm an atheist now. That's not going to change their minds.
Well, it's an interesting policy application for Pascal's Wager.
Oh, yeah.
But like, oh, yeah, you can't choose what you believe, because if you choose what you believe, then it's not really a belief. So,
wow, I almost have a use for the Pascal's Wager button.
There's a Pascal's Wager button?
There is a Pascal's Wager button. No.
I was so excited. I was like, what possible sound effect could you have on Pascal's Wager? Is it like a seesaw or something?
No. It's a robotic recording of Pascal's Wager.
Just hit the button and we'll talk over it.
Yeah. So what we do is when we get an email about Pascal's Wager, which, granted, we haven't gotten in about 6 months.
So if you're listening, Pascal.
So we have this refutation of Pascal's Wager
by Dr. Spitzo.
And then we just poured it down and we just talk over it. So we have some emails, which we should probably get into. The first one comes to us from Jay from England, who writes, why do atheists talk only about Leviticus in the Bible?
I think it's
low-hanging fruit.
Isn't low-hanging fruit explicitly
forbidden
in Leviticus? Yeah.
But I mean, the point is, like, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy say so many awful, reprehensible things from a modern moral standpoint, but it's just the easiest place to go if you're looking for an argument.
It's also where most of the challenges by religion to modern society are sourced.
Right.
So we're not bringing up Leviticus. We're being forced to read the darn thing because that's where everybody's saying, oh, yeah, it says in the Bible. But when we expect, when Christians say it says in the Bible, they almost invariably are talking about it says in the Bible in the part of the Bible that isn't our part of the Bible.
Right. Well, right?
It's Becky's part of the Bible.
Leviticus is, where a lot of the stuff where people want to impress their morality on you comes from. That's the quote from Leviticus all the time.
Right.
Now, we do quote from Leviticus all the time because
I mean, it's
we
catchy.
Get it thrown at us.
It's catchy.
And I mean, and really. Hilarious, but we also pay attention to the Song of Songs because hot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. And it's not like Christians don't pick from the Bible. I mean, the Left Behind people, LaHaye and Jenkins or whatever, mm-hmm. if you look through their stuff, the only two books of the Bible that exist are Daniel and Revelation. So just ping pong between Daniel and Revelations, like it's the worst freaking game mm-hmm. of Pong ever.
That would be a horrible game of Pong.
Yeah, jeez.
The confusing part is trying to figure out how many heads the lions have.
Oh, yeah, seven.
Is six lions with one head each, or seven or one lion with seven heads? It's.
I think it's 144,000 lions with 6,000 heads. Sorry,
I'm picturing like a GRE question. Alejandro has 14 lions with 50 heads. And, you know, some random multinational name with B
yeah.
has this many.
And we do talk about Genesis a lot because Noah's Ark is funny. And,
well, yeah.
Yeah. And, so,
well, and people are, again, trying to do policy things with Genesis.
Right.
So we have to learn about it because it's the source material for their crazy.
Well, and that's basically the point, isn't it? Because, you know, the only time we have to talk about the Bible is people who don't believe in it is when the Bible is being vigorously rubbed up against us. And this is happening...
I believe that's expressly forbidden by yeah, Leviticus.
We're not allowed to.
And that only happens when they've got some sort of moral argument to say that we should act in a specific way. Most of that comes from stuff like Genesis and Leviticus and da 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 da. So that's why we spend a lot of time talking about it. But if you actually talk to atheists specifically about the Bible, you're going to find out there's a lot of experts on the Bible in the atheism community because that's how they became atheists.
Right. That's like reading the Bible is like a fantastic way to go from being a Christian to being an atheist.
Yeah.
Just read the manual.
Right. Which brings us to Roman from the internet, who writes, if Jesus died for humanity's sins, isn't he now in hell burning for them? There are some sins that cannot be forgiven, like denying the Holy Ghost, so he must have gone to hell because of that.
Are we going to do this?
Go for it.
All right. So
go for it.
I have always wanted to either create or write or something, a science fiction story in which... we start with the premise that Jesus died for sins past, present, and future, for humanity's sin, as Roman points out. What that means is that the people who live after Jesus, if they decide to be better, that means that that Jesus's passion, his crucifixion, basically gets better and better and better over time. So while he was crucified at that moment, because everyone was presumed to be sinning at the same rate... in the future, if they start being better, then that means the crucifixion becomes just a scourging. And then the scourging just becomes a light slap. And then the light slap becomes like a paper cut that morning.
Okay, I think that was in the Sylvester McCoy, the Seventh Doctor. I think that was a...
right. And if we consider the idea that you know, if the rate of sinning is the same, but we're still having exponential population growth, that means that the vast, vast majority of all sins that occur in the future.
Well, and that could also mean that the same model could apply, but it gets even worse. So he's sinning. Is it worth sinning at this, maybe at a reduced rate, but the population is increasing.
Oh.
And therefore, it goes from a crucifixion to being like shot out of a cannon right. after being mounted on a crucifix.
Right.
Skinned or being shot
and dropped into
the sun.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
How are you guys on point with it? We did not talk about
we
this
did not
before
rehearse
the show.
This.
Yes. But that brings me to something I actually don't like about Christianity, is that, you know, so he gets nailed up to the tree, and he stays, you know, and he dies, and then he mm-hmm. goes away for 3 days, and then he comes back and goes out for drinks with his buds. Those 3 days he's supposed to
and
be
the whore.
Hell.
Don't forget the whore.
Oh, right.
Right.
But those 3 days he's supposed to be in hell. And that's him getting him atoning for humanity's sins.
Right.
So he gets nailed up to a tree, spends 3 days in hell, and that means we're okay. But if we screw up, we get eternity. Man, talk about favoritism.
Well, if we
that's like the worst form of nepotism. Right. Really.
No, but it's not that if we screw up, we go to hell for eternity. If we screw up and we don't fill out Form 77B/6 and submit it.
Oh, we don't check the box in the back of the Jack Chick track.
Requesting forgiveness.
Right, right.
So if you don't actually request forgiveness and your request is not processed in time, then you don't get the little circle on your ticket and you have to go to hell.
Okay.
So, see, my take on the whole, you know, he died for your sins kind of things. Like, well, let's just assume that that's true and that's the way it works. How much do you want this sacrifice to be worth? I mean,
right.
If you don't do any sorts of sins in your life, then what it's a slap in the face to the guy who died for it, right? So do as much as you can. You want to make that worth something.
For homework.
Eat bacon-wrapped shrimp
yeah.
in a poly-cotton blend while planting two different crops in different fields. And on a Saturday. Well, after divorcing a woman within 2 weeks of giving birth to a girl who wants to teach you stuff. I'm trying to think of all the Leviticus sins.
How do you combine them all at once?
We have another email. This is Steve from the internet who writes, on a number of occasions I've engaged in conversations with religious folks about ethics and atheism. The problem I encounter most often is when I try to explain that religious morals aren't universal. Your average American Protestant is going to have a different moral outlook than your average Sunni Muslim in Pakistan. It seems obvious, but often when I point out this out to people, well, they'll just point their fingers and cry, moral relativism, like I've contracted the plague. Contacted, what the heck am I thinking? No matter what case I try to make to explain my argument, that phrase ends the conversation as if I had outed myself as a baby eater. How can I describe these ideas in such a way that people might actually think about it before simply slapping a baby eater label on it and walking away? My answer is, if they're walking away, congratulations, you've won.
Yeah. I mean, this is none of these... Any conversation where being labeled a baby eater or being labeled as, I mean, and when we say labeled a baby eater, I think what he means is being labeled as a person whose morals are sufficiently reprehensible that we don't care.
Yeah.
That's not a conversation you're gonna, that's not a conversation.
No.
It's a labeling activity that you happen to be participating in for some reason. That just discussion needs to end as quickly as possible and you need to stop wasting your life.
You probably weren't going to win that one anyway, at least not from their standpoint. You know, if somebody's harboring the view that atheists actually are somehow really, really different at the core of their being than anyone else, then you're probably not going to convince them of anything.
Yeah, my argument is usually, you know, your morals come from the same place my morals do. I mean, because you can look at the historical shift in morals over the last 2,000 years, just to look at the moral changes in Christianity as a whole, to say nothing of the other religions. But... you know, my argument is that I'm not a moral relativist. I think our morality has a biological basis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, morals shift, dress shifts, women as property shifts, that, you know, we seem to be losing a lot of the junk that was given to us by religion. And what we seem to be left with is the basics. Don't take people's stuff. Don't kill people. Like I said, I don't think I've heard of a civilization that was a big fan of being murdered.
No, not so far.
Nope.
Yeah. And
they're working on it, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's coming in the next version of iOS, I think.
Well, yeah.
Read the whole agreement.
Yeah. Seriously, the iTunes thing is like 50 pages long. I mean, the taking your soul is like the first part of it. And that's what it comes down to. And are you, and another question I would ask is, are you having this conversation just one-on-one? Or is there other people in the room? Because you're not going to, religious people who are going to call you a moral relativist and walk away, you're not going to change their mind. They're arguing, they're wearing really thick armor. They're arguing from a position of dogma, which is to say an argument for modulated ignorance. So what you should be doing with this debate is trying to reach other people. If there's other people in the room and you're trying to be reasonable and they shout moral relativist, look at you like you... have a strange atheism disease and then walk away, that's part of what I mean by you won. You've strengthened your argument and thereby, you know, you can now talk to those people and they'll usually have some questions for you and you might actually make some big headway in showing people that atheists aren't, well, baby eaters, really.
Right. Yeah. And I think the other option is to go with redefining redefining what you're arguing about and just saying are we talking about core morals or are we talking about, you know, the nuances of individual rule sets?
Right.
Like you think Saturday's holy, we think Sunday is holy. Is that really you think some kind of core difference between people?
Yeah, but I think there's a core there. People need a break.
Right.
I think that's the part of our biological basis. Right. If we don't work, if we have to work every day, our work quality is because we're not machines.
Mm-hmm.
And so
having a break is a good idea.
Right.
And I think the argument also, as you were saying, you know, it's you're not there to convince the religious person. You're there to convince the people on the fence or you know, sort of like we do here on the show, we're not trying to convert anybody to atheism,
right.
But we would like the atheists out there to know that they're not alone, that they're not the only ones having these kinds of thoughts, that they're not the only ones having these kind of arguments.
That's a very important point, and unfortunately, that's all the time we've got. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me was Dan Lombardo and Ranjan Banerjee. My writers were Rebecca Friedman and Dave Brulette. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 844-753-7842. Email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. I feel a little better now. See you guys next week.